Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. Headline this week, the best of the beautiful game, the Eskers return. Today I am joined by my brother Craig and our good friend Brady. Guys, the music's on and hopefully you've got your best gear on.
Well, as you well know, Chris, we always dress up for the Eskers, so we're all suited and booted here. You can rest assured that is absolutely factually correct. And yeah, I've got a little whiskey here and I'm ready for the award show of all award shows.
You're downplaying it. I mean, there's the blue carpet's been rolled out. It's the biggest biggest night of the football calendar. Messi taking a selfie of Tom Cruise. And there's Mark Steen. I mean, it's kicking off here. I mean, the Eskers is a massive.
She got night. Cole Palmer here as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's massive. Yeah, free bar. You know, we're saving up all year for a free bar, one drink each, get your token, and that's it. Yeah. So, yeah, Champions League followed by the Eskers. What a time to be alive.
Yeah. There you go. Just off celebrating a trophy, and we're straight into more of them. For those who don't know, this is our end of year awards. We've got plenty of categories to get through. And we're going to see who takes the award. We're going to submit our thoughts on who we think's won, and then we'll come to a consensus about the winner. So, yeah, put your best foot forward for your votes. If we look back first at last year's award show, we've got some winners. I'm not sure if some of them are winners. So last year, player of the season was Cole Palmer. Most disappointing player was Mykhailo Mudryk. Goal of the season was Caicedo versus Bournemouth. Improved player, most improved, was Gallagher. Most underwhelming signing was Nkunku. Interesting.
And
next season's player of the season was Moises Caicedo.
So wow.
There you go.
Give ourselves a collective pat on the back for that.
Yeah, I think that is pretty good, isn't it? So if we get it right again next year.
When you're watching the games week in, week out, he's a standout player to everyone. Yeah. But yeah, we will take some credit for it.
Okay, right. Let's get into this season's. First up, player of the year. Craig, I'll come to you first.
Well, going to go with a cliche. I think we can actually just run through this one really quickly because we've spent so much time talking about this player and we just talked about him as well. Moises Caicedo, player of the year.
Is that clean sweep? We can all say after three, can't we? I mean, it was just. I mean, it's Caicedo by a distance. I mean, yeah.
I was actually speaking to one of my friends today who's non-Chelsea fan, and he was saying that he was surprised Moises Caicedo was up over the year. I do think there is still a little bit of outside, not doubt, but just a bit of unknown about him that he is so good. I do think that still exists.
Be discouraging to your friend, or maybe they're also my friend because we have many common friends and friends in common. I doubt they've watched much Chelsea this year, if that's their assessment, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think he's been far away the best
player. He's also not been in the Premier League team of the seasons that I've seen, a lot of them.
Yeah, I didn't see Kukurea.
I've seen him in a few, but mostly it's Rice, Gravenberch.
Yeah. And McAllister.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll probably spend a lot of time talking about these other categories, so probably good to just move on from Moises and just say thanks very much and see you again next year.
We can't just skim over it. I mean, the player of the season is probably one of the marquee awards, but yeah, it's a triple. We've got the player's player of the year for Chelsea, the player of the year for Chelsea, and now the player of the season. So
and now an Esker to go on top. I mean,
for award season, he's scooping them up.
Come and get this one, Moy.
No worries, right, mate. See you at the after party.
Right.
Take that mask off.
To the antithesis, most disappointing player of the year. What are we thinking for this?
Are we doing the same order all the way through?
Yeah.
All right. So my most disappointing player of the year, easy one for me, Christopher Nkunku. I think going through... You know, pre-season takes. I was trying to be as reflective as I could in this because it's easy to be like recency bias. I mean, we haven't even seen Nkunku for a couple of months, but we needed him when Jackson got injured. We relied on him. We needed him at certain points in the season. And yeah, he just didn't show up. He was a player that I particularly was hyped about. I know I'm not the only one. There was a lot of people that were really happy with the signing, really excited about the signing. Not the first time a player from Leipzig has come in for 50 million and we've been really excited about him. And yeah, he's been a huge, huge letdown. And on top of that, it doesn't even look like he wants to be here. So yeah, looks like he's off as well. Good riddance. And yeah, we'll see you later.
Wow. A brutal assessment.
You're next, mate.
Brady, what have you got?
Am I next?
You're next, yeah.
It's a tough pill for me to swallow, this one, and Craig already knows what I'm going to say. I have to agree, it's Nkunku. Came into the team. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, kind of running. The player has a lot of ability, but it just hasn't happened. And the ability, I think, is there in some systems, in some teams, but not in this one. But to be honest, I mean, they've been at a real lack of effort, you know, in the latter part of the season. He just didn't want to be here, and probably his agent told him, we've told his agent he wants to go, and if they find any sort of suitor for him, he will be gone. So, it's Christopher Nkunku for me. A real shame, because like Craig, I was really excited about the signing, but it has not turned out well.
Two votes, that's a lock. And Nkunku will be picking up his Esker. I think it's going to be Nkunku for me, but I think it's a bit unlucky as well, because a lot of the other poorer players, I would look at...
Any honorable mentions for most of this player?
Hang on a minute. So...
Hello, host talk.
Hold on to your tuxedo, mate.
So he's unlucky in Nkunku, because I think the other poorer players left in January and were loaned out, who didn't make the full season. So, like, I mean, you're looking at people like Felix and Disasi, who were very, very bad throughout the beginning part of the season. But obviously, Nkunku was here for the second half, which puts him in the forefront. So he's unlucky in that sense.
He's a really experienced player. Like, he's 27 years old. So it's not like, if he was 20 even, you could be like, oh, look, he's had a poor season, maybe he'll grow. But, you know, he's on massive wages and he's 27. I mean, he's the easiest pick ever in this category, I think.
Okay.
Not here to pick up the award tonight, Nkunku, just controversially. So. Someone up. Cole, come and get it for him. Yeah,
I'll get
it to it.
He was there at the celebration.
Don't leave it on the stage, Cole. You've got to take it. Right, okay, yeah, right. Next award.
Next award. Onwards and upwards. Goal of the season.
My favourite award, actually.
This is a tricky one. I'm not sure. Don't know if we'll get a lock on
this. I think we're going to get mixed answers for this. And yeah. I know that a Chelsea goal, I think, was in the category for goal of the season that I've not gone for. Premier League goal of the season, I believe, but I've not gone for that goal. I've gone for Pedro Neto versus Arsenal. That was my favourite goal of the season so far. So firstly, it's obviously a great goal, outside of the box, bottom corner, you know, fantastic goal, and the celebrations were amazing. Obviously that Arsenal home game is a big game for all the fans, but I actually think that game in general for Maresca was a massive game at the time. I know that, you know, during that period of the season, we'd just come back from getting knocked out of the League Cup to Newcastle away 2-0. We'd drawn away at Manchester United 1-1. And there was just a bit of, you know, friction about the team at that point. And it was a massive game at the start of November at home to Arsenal. And I remember it was one of the few games this season that I've actually been a little bit nervous before the game. And, you know, we're 1-0 down. Martinelli scored that goal at the back post. And we needed a goal to get back into that game. And he got a goal out of nothing from 25 yards. And I just really enjoyed that goal. So, yeah, that was my goal of the season.
Very nice. Really nice goal, yeah. Brady, what have you got?
My goal of the season is the forgotten man, João Félix, Wolves away. Fantastic goal. From one end of the pitch to the other. I don't remember this goal. I mean, it's a wonderful goal. Kind of, Jude Bell picks up midfield, plays a 1-2 with Neto. Neto screams down the wing. Really good cutback. And then the absolute outrageous finish from Joao Felix, some of the quality that he can show from time to time.
Was that this season? I don't know if I remember that.
Yeah, 6-2. That's the sixth goal and a 6-2.
Yeah, that was the second game of the season. Ernesto
kind of jumped up and straddled him almost. And a bit more like Poch ball. There was actually another really good goal, that Cole Palmer chip, which I nearly picked up. Well, that was an amazing goal. I thought that was a wonderful goal. I remember watching it on X. You know, the French commentator was saying it was magnifique. I mean, it was wonderful. And that's my choice.
Very nice. A common theme here is Pedro Neto, scoring for Craig and assisting for Brady. I'm going to pick Neto as well. And I'm going to pick his goal against Fulham. I think that was a bit of a turning point towards the kind of back end of our run. That Fulham game felt like it was going to be a draw. And it sort of started off I think we won 8 out of the last 9 from that game. And it was just an incredible pass and finish on the turn, last minute.
Yeah.
Goal.
One thing I would say about that goal, obviously, we've picked 3 goals that Chelsea had 2 players or 2 goals out of the 10 that were voted for goal of the season. And we've picked none of those goals. One of them was Cole Palmer's goal against Wolves, the chip from that one goal a month in August. And the other one was Nicholas Jackson's goal against Newcastle. And that was more for the team goal because it was obviously a great pass from Cole and fantastic run from Neto and assist. So those were the 2 goals, the one goal of the month in August and September that we didn't pick as any of our goals of the season. But yeah, how are we going to decide what's going to be the tie break here?
I'm personally happy to let Chris have, I know he loves Pedro Neto. All right, Pedro, calm down. He's probably going to get it. Happy to have the Fulham one because it was a moment goal. It was a huge moment. I'm happy to have that.
Yeah.
Neto goal wins it. Congratulations, Neto, on your first Esca.
First of many, maybe.
Potentially.
A few more goals next season, please, mate. Anyway, next award.
And this is one of my favourite awards.
Most improved player.
Love it. So I always like this award because, you know, this is a player that's come into the team, maybe, you know, mixed expectations. You don't know what to say. I think there's a couple that it could be for this category, but I've gone for Levi Colwill just because of the end of the season, the step that he's taken, the clean sheet run that we've been on, you know, only conceding one goal, I think, in the last... two goals in the last sort of 5 games. And, he stepped up this season for me. I had my doubts about him midway through the season in terms of whether he was even going to be able to take that step, how we were going to address centre-back. I know, you know, we're still linked with Braithwaite as well, who's a left-footed centre-back himself. You know, there were some doubts whether Colwill could be the guy, but I think in the last sort of couple of months of the season, he's really improved so much. You know, he's taken a big step, not just with his play, but with his leadership. And yeah, well deserved for me, I think, most improved player.
Mine is, it might sound a bit funny, and it's maybe over 2 seasons, because he wasn't the most improved player last season. I'm going to give it to Cucurella, because I think you forget how poorly received he was and how bad form he was in, and he has gone basically from being, well, over the course of 18 months and definitely over this season, I mean, obviously he won the Euros last summer, but he just improves every game and it's just fantastic. I think from where he was to where he is now, I mean, he was probably unlucky not to get player of the season this year and not to get an Esca, the player of the season for an Esca, to be honest. I mean, Cucurella has been fantastic, and from where he was, a massive improvement arc. So yeah, I'm going to give it to Mark.
Right, it's going to be a lock, and it's going to be Colwill. Nice. I think for me, Colwill. I think Cucurella was already playing well last season. I think from January, basically, second half of last season, he was excellent, probably the best left back in the league, or, you know, within that mix. And also he had a great Euros, and then he's just sort of carried that on. Colwill, I think, he was mucking around at left back and having a bit of a mare, couldn't really cement in place in the team, whereas now I think he is kind of first choice at the back. So, yeah, I think it's a lock on Cole. I think he's been much improved, mainly because he's been playing in his position. But also he was struggling definitely towards the beginning of the season. So he's really come on a lot. So, yeah.
Fair play.
Lock it up.
It's locked in. Colwell, come and get your Escobar, boy. Right.
First Cobham Award of the night. Well done.
Yeah. Best young player. They're all young.
Well, this is it. This is a little bit of a controversial one for me, but best young player, I've gone for Cole Palmer.
That is ridiculous.
We've got to go for like an
I love
actual,
that.
Really
he's 23.
Player. Yeah, but in the relative of the squad, we have to go someone younger.
Well, I just want to talk about. I just want to
be 21 and younger.
I just want to talk about Cole Palmer quickly. Then, obviously, 23
he's not gonna win any more awards.
Yeah, 23 goal GA in the Premier League in 37 games. He almost played every game for us this season, apart from one. And,
Too old.
Yeah, at 23, for me, he would still qualify for young player of the season. But look, if we're doing the award, in sort of the sense that it's supposed to be in, Tyreek George for me, I guess, would be young player of the season. But you know, I'm not massively enthused about Tyreek George. But if he, yeah, like you say, if we're doing it in the actual spirit of the award, he would get it.
Ready? Are you doing it in the spirit of the award?
Yeah, well, I am, yeah, because this was discussed before. We can't be having... It's not the England under 21 squad get 24-year-olds in. It doesn't work like that here at the Eskers. It's a graduates and young kids. It's
a stickler for the rules here at the Eskers.
It's Tyreek George. We've spoken about the Neto goal. I mean, his goal against Fulham was when we're 1-0 down was even more because really fantastic goal. Really, loads of good minutes in the Conference League. This assist, yeah, looks lively. Can play different positions. Really put a shift in. It was close between him and Josh Ashapong, but I'm going to give it to Tyreek.
Yeah, it's a lock in with Tyreek. I'm going to put him in. I think he was definitely the best young player. Heavily involved in a lot of the games. Played up front, false nine. Worked hard. You know, it's. Don't think we have to be expecting too much from him, but he put a shift in. He worked hard and he got a, like you say, a really important goal. It's you know, this is what we're expecting. You know, turn up, do what you need to do for the team when you're that age, and contribute. And he did. So well deserved.
Yeah.
Come and get your Esker, Tyreek.
Two in a row for Cobham. Keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Well, can it definitely won't be because the next category is best new signing.
Yeah, you're going to laugh at my answer to this one as well. Best this is going to be vetoed as well, I guess. Best new signing for me is Reece James.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, two free strikes in a row. Security here.
Best new signing.
What is going on
here? He hasn't played for us for years. Fine.
Craig, you're putting the awards in dispute. Go on Transfer Market on your phone right now and look at the new signings and pick one.
If we're respecting the spirit of the award, the best signing.
Why are we not respecting it?
The best signing for me has been Tosin, for sure. You know, free transfer, come in, done a great job in the Europa League, filled in the Premier League. End of the season was really good, and he cost absolutely nothing from Fulham. So. I think he, without a doubt, is the actual best new signing. But, yeah, Reece James is like a new signing, so.
Ignore that last comment.
Let's check again if you're doing it in the spirit of the award.
I want to take away champagne to get him an orange juice. Anyway, I'm also going to go with Tosin. You know, got him for free, and you get a really good leader behind the scenes and a really solid centre-back. I mean, what more can you say? I mean, to be honest... The other signings weren't really littered with successes, really. So it was quite a difficult category to pick in a way, but I'm going to go with Tosin as well.
I'm shocked no one picked Neto. But I will go for Tosin because I think he is the best, probably the best value as well, because we've got him for nothing. But also, he scored an absolute screamer and the Conference League, and that was worth it alone. So, yeah.
He scored a swinger against Morecambe or somebody, didn't he?
Maybe it was Morecambe, yeah. Yeah, he can have a pop, Tosin, and he's got a good shot on him.
Some farmer's team from the UK or Europe, or whatever.
would Estevel be allowed? Is that allowed?
Oh, for goodness sake.
No, that's no.
Who let this guy in?
What is going on here?
Right.
You're almost banned from the Eskers next year, mate. I'm not barring you.
Right,
you can't ban me. I'm one of the designers of the trophies.
Apparently not.
It's a lock on Tosin. We're moving over to underwhelming. Most underwhelming signing.
Don't say any change, Craig. Don't say it.
Easy one for me. This is Dewsbury Hall. I had really high expectations for Dewsbury Hall. I actually made a little bit of an embarrassing shout looking at it now, but I thought that he would have a great season for Chelsea and have an outside chance of being in the England squad for the World Cup. And that has aged very poorly, that take. He's been really poor. He looks like he's playing injured, to be honest, most of the time, Dewsbury Hall. He looks miles and miles off it. He's so slow. Like, you think Enzo's slow, and then, you know, you watch him in real life. I think I could run faster than him. He looks like he's playing injured to me. So, yeah, I don't know. All the quality that I'd seen at Leicester and sort of the attacking threat, link-up play, work rate, pressing, I don't see any of that. He looks... I don't know, a spent force, Dewsbury Hall. Very strange.
Wow. Even after his Conference League double break, back-to-back goals assist.
Like, the defender got out of the way of it. Like, yeah.
No, he scored the goal in the previous round, didn't he?
Look, yeah, I don't know. Very disappointing.
And spent force.
Spent force of a Conference League medal, mate. You did a maths. I'm also, it was a bit of a photo finish between Joe Felix and KDH, but I've got to go with Dewsbury Hall. The main thing that disappoints me about Dewsbury Hall is he was Maresca's boy. I mean, he got so many goals and assists for that Leicester team that came up last season, the season before, however you want to say it. And just nothing really. He looked like the one who was... Maresca just didn't really fancy him, didn't play him. So it's been very disappointing. You're probably thinking maybe he'll be sold in the summer or be either a squad player. This seems like a great lad, good pro, but I agree, been very, very underwhelming.
Yeah. It's a lock on Dewsbury Hall, and it's going to be a triple lock because I had him as underwhelming. I think expecting a lot from him. He seems to struggle with controlling the ball, which is a very bizarre situation for him to find himself in. I think, look, shown something in a few games, but, you know, obviously... And if you look at the whole season, I think he's been very, very poor. He's got to do better. I think he's kind of been leveled a little bit at Chelsea, and maybe just a step too far for him. I think maybe he might be better off in a team where the expectations aren't so high.
Well, he's going to Arsenal.
I don't think I'd put him as a spent force, though, maybe.
Yeah.
Right, triple lock on that moves us to best moment.
Yeah, best moment. This moment won the goal of the season as well. But also, I just want to note it as my best moment was Neto's goal versus Fulham. Just the nature of the game, the importance of the game. I know Matt Law said on the London is Blue podcast that he thinks without that goal, Chelsea wouldn't have qualified for the Champions League, not just because of the extra 2 points, which obviously technically I think we would have still qualified, but just the momentum that gave us to carrying on to the end of the season. And I totally agree with that. I think that George goal followed by the Neto winner really gave the boys confidence and something to sort of cling on to that could really get them going. I mean, you know, we beat Everton straight after, then beat Liverpool at home, you know, three massive wins in a row, and that really propelled us to Champs League. So I think that's the most I've celebrated a goal all season was that Neto winner. It was a Sunday, and you know, watching at home, and it was just an epic moment. So yeah.
I'm going to go really boring. It's when the whistle blew versus Forest. I mean, it was a massive moment of relief. The players were really happy. It was just... to know that you're back in the Champions League, kind of a vanilla pick here, but I mean, that was my best moment. I agree, probably my emotional moment was when Neto scored against Fulham, but the actual best moment of a relief after a really long season and being on the knife edge. I mean, we could have gone to the Conference League on that Sunday. It was all to play for, good and bad. And to get over the line the way they did and the way the players reacted was really good. So that would be my moment.
My moment is winning a trophy.
Yeah.
I think it's been a long time since we've seen a Chelsea team celebrating a trophy. 4 years? 3 years?
Yeah, four years, huh?
So it was nice. I think it's good to remember what football's about for me. That's about success and winning trophies. I think good for the players to experience winning a trophy. I think that'll set them up in a good way. It always helps, gives you a lot of belief. So for me, that was the best moment. We need to find a winner.
What are we
Who's
going for?
To concede?
Again,
I'm happy to go with Brady's. Happy to go with Brady's choice because I feel like
the full time whistle against Forest. I'm not sure that can be the best moment of the season, can it?
Or you can come with me.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick between your two, I'd pick between the actual lifting of the trophy. A trophy. Like, look, finishing top four was really important. It was, like Brady said, it was a relief. But in terms of our, like, if we look through the whole season, I can't say that's the best moment. We'll go with the trophy win, I guess.
Takes the Esker. Winning a trophy. Right. Now, the worst moment. What was
that? The worst moment for me is I've just put Christmas time blues. So that is Everton 0, Chelsea 0 on the 22nd of September.
The only moment, topic A moment.
Chelsea 1, Fulham 2 on the 26th of December. Ipswich 2, Chelsea 0 on the 30th of December. Palace 1, Chelsea 1 on the 4th of January. And Chelsea 2, Bournemouth 2 on the 14th of January. So those were 3 points from those 5 games. In the Premier League, the Christmas time period was absolutely brutal, and that was the worst moment of the season. And just the toxicity of the fan base around that time as well, just not winning a game in five is just, didn't enjoy that at all. So yeah, that was a low.
I mean, it didn't get that much better after that either, but yeah.
I'm gonna go with an actual specific moment. It's Ipswich away. I can't remember. It was like,
yeah, I listed two... that, did I?
Sorry?
Yeah, it's on there, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Ipswich away was terrible because it was just, I think it was like a midweek game, but it was like a weird game where they're playing on a Tuesday or something and it just wasn't on TV anywhere and you couldn't watch it and it was just, rubbish. You rotated the team, probably should have rotated it the week before and it was all a mess. And yeah, he said Mariska said that they were 2-0 down and the game was over with like 40 minutes left.
In Kunku up top in that one and Joao Felix on the left wing.
Yeah, but I mean, a poor one. And it was switch away from me.
Yeah. Close one here. I think for me, it was actually, I wrote down losing to Brighton the second time.
Yeah.
In that sort of FA Cup Premier League doubleheader we had with them. The first one was close. But the second game, we lost 3-0. It was absolutely brutal.
I think like the moment here, obviously, like I've got that Brighton away game as my, not to give you a spoiler here, for my worst match. Obviously, we've got worst matches. One, I think the moment is like an actual feeling, a moment. I don't know if we should. I don't think you've both just listed matches. So if you, is that your worst match as well? Or?
But,
no.
I mean, it's also a reaction to a game, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. I guess I'm happy to meet you on the Christmas blues.
Yeah, which is basically what I said, really.
It's kind of everything compass. So let's go for that. The Christmas blues, and hopefully it doesn't happen again next season. Worst moment. Best match.
So I've got two here. It's really hard to, because one of them was...
Pick one, mate.
Okay, so I'm going to go Brighton at home 4-2. That I think that was the best match for me. A Cole Palmer first half hat trick right in front of me down at the shed end. I mean, Chelsea were flying then. Sorry, 4 goals in the first half for Cole Palmer. Sorry. Obviously the free kick being the absolute pick of the lot as well. So yeah, that was the best match for me.
My best match was Spurs away. Kukurea lost his boots. And, you know, we came back and, I mean, Sancho, what a ping and what a goal. Palmer, Penenka, I mean, it was unbelievable. And you just had that little moment where, you know, they were bigging us up as title contenders. It all fell away after that. But yeah, that little bit of like, hang on, are we in a title race here? Something happening here? And you said, you know, Maresca went away Lampard-esque. He went away, went to the away fans like on a Lampard-esque at the Tottenham Stadium, G-ing the fans up. And yeah, great moment. But yeah, great match.
Best match for me, I've got Wolves away.
Yeah, that was my other one that I was thinking about.
That was a really, like, it was quite difficult at the beginning of the season because obviously we lost to City, but and there was a lot of kind of like, oh, how bad's this season going to go? But they came back and they showed what they're about in the Wolves game, and 6 goals, I think it was the most we scored in a game in the league this season. So, yeah, I think Wolves away for me is the best match. I think it was a really up. It felt like the season was off to a bad start, and then that kind of gave a real lift. And then we went on a pretty decent run, actually, in the league after that.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to forget that game because, obviously, it was the second game of the season. But that was the other game that I had written down, was Wolves. I had to pick one of those two. So I'm happy to go for Wolves away. To win the Esca.
Wolves away wins the Esca.
Wow, okay. I think mine was better. But anyway, yeah, well done, Wolves away.
No, Spurs was great as well, but
I think it was a better moment. But anyway. I mean, Wolves away, Wolves away
had the Fugazi. That wasn't the category. It was
had the Fugazi Madueke hat-trick in it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Half his goals for the season.
I don't know about that. I think I've been done there. But anyway, never mind. Move on.
2 votes wins it, Brady. Read the rule book.
And the brother's ganging. Brother's ganging up on me as usual.
Right, worst match. We already know what Greg's going to say.
Yeah, the worst match is Brighton 3, Chelsea 0. We were actually at the game before, and I got offered tickets for this game as well. And it was Valentine's Day, and I was like, I've been away a lot, and I was like, look, fine, we'll have a little Valentine's Day on the sofa watching Brighton Chelsea. And yeah, that was it was about as miserable a performance as it gets. And yeah, just losing back-to-back games against them in that stadium in a week as well. I don't know. It was a real low time of the season for me. And yeah, it was the worst match by a mile, I think.
Valentine's Day massacre. I mean, yeah, I think same Craig and I, like you said, my friend Ryan sorted us out, you know, hospitality ticket for the 2-1. I mean, that was. I mean, I've actually grouped the games as a kind of worst match. You could have both, but we were equally bad. Even when we lost 2-1 to us, that was an awful performance as well. But yeah, I'll go Brighton away 3-0. I mean, that was bad. That was really bad. And you're thinking from there, top four was a long way off. So yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's one of the few games I think where we've not deserved anything from the game. Like, we clearly have been second best. There's not many games you could say that about this season, but that is one of them, for sure.
I think worst match for me, yeah, Brighton, kind of. I mean, that's a lock already, but I think I've written down Arsenal away. I mean, a lot of the games we've gone into expecting to kind of win or get points, but I think going into the Arsenal game, just expecting to lose. We offered nothing. It was our lowest expected goals of the season.
I mean, there was quite the reason, obviously, I wouldn't put that is because we had a lot of injuries that day. Palmer didn't play that day. We had Nkunku playing left wing. Badia Shield played.
I had to watch that. It was awful. Just nothing.
Yeah.
Just no spirit. Just absolute rubbish.
Yeah, went 90 into minutes. The international break as well. So you had to sit with that for 2 weeks. Terrible.
Just absolute rubbish match. Looked terrible. Lost 1-0. I mean,
Arsenal were poor in that game as well. It was a really awful match to watch, to be honest.
Yeah. One you don't want to be on the wrong side of, unfortunately. So that was my one. But it looks like Brighton away wins the Esca. Now, the fun categories. Next season's best player.
Yes. Now, this is a real fun one, yeah. Should we remove Caicedo from it and we can redo it?
No, you can guess Caicedo if you want.
Okay, next season's best player will be Moises Caicedo.
I agree.
Let's remove Caicedo and do who we think. No, because then it'll probably just be Palmer, won't it?
So. You've done enough controversial stuff tonight, Craig.
All right, fine.
I'm not gonna say Caicedo.
Here we go.
I'm gonna say Cole Palmer.
Okay.
I think buying attackers who actually finish. I mean, we've watched Jackson and Madueke firing shots into Rosette from Palmer's big chances enough. I think when we get some decent players, we get some decent players up top. I think you're going to see Palmer's numbers go up properly, like they should do. And I think he's going to win Player of the Year next season because he'll also be doing it in the Champions League. So that's my prediction.
Nice. Caicedo wins it.
Caicedo is allegedly going to be next season's best player.
First double award of the night for Moy.
Moy. Last category. Hopeful signing of the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think this player's going to win it because I know what Chris is going to say. But yeah, Nico Williams, I think, is my hopeful signing of the summer.
That's unbelievable. You already know it. You already know each other's guesses.
No, as in, I'm guessing what Chris is going to say. But yeah, Nico Williams for me, I think he'll make the biggest impact if we could sign him at left wing. That would be fantastic. I know the club really love him. He's the number one priority right now. They're making a huge effort to get him. That's being reported by a couple of good sources. And I think they want him before the Club World Cup. So we've got an 8-day sweat to see if we can get Nico Williams, which would be incredibly exciting. So, yeah.
I was also going to say Nico Williams. Chris, you've said Nico Williams, is that correct?
My pick was going to be Nico Williams, or I do have another one, but yeah, it's going to be Nico Williams.
Okay, so Nico Williams won the Escobar well done. My wild card is Antoine Semenyo. I think he's a very good player, and I think he would really adapt well because he can play right and left, and he's got Premier League experience, got a really good shot on him, as we saw. I mean, Sanchez didn't cover himself in glory, but he's got a bit, he actually has got a rocket, not the Nkunku rocket.
I forgot to mention, actually, Brady, we went the whole season without seeing the Nkunku rocket. How are you feeling?
There's a Rocket of the Year award, and it's made out of paper mache. So yeah, you can pick that up, actually, in your party bag. There's a little rocket.
If you would like to see an Nkunku rocket, check out the YouTube highlights of Christopher Nkunku from RB Leipzig.
You probably need him to go to NASA to do that, to be honest. But there'll be him or maybe Brian Mbeumo. I think Brian Mbeumo would be fantastic for us on the right wing. But yeah, I think probably, you know, it was either Williams, Mbeumo or Semenyo for me. So probably just Nico Williams. Hopefully, here we go.
What do you think of Eze? Well, he's not really been mentioned at all.
Yeah,
but
I think he plays where Palmer plays, right? He's just a bit of a... He just won't get the minutes.
Well, I think he can play left wing if he...
No,
if he
left.
Yeah, he can play left maybe, yeah. I mean, I love Eze. I think he's a wonderful player. But I think he might be a little bit of a bit like a Bowen, where he's kind of really good at a slightly smaller club and a talisman. But you never know. But I think he's a wonderful player.
Well, it looks like Nico Williams has taken the Esca. So
we'll have to get that on a plane to Bilbao.
Is it Nico or Neko?
Nico, isn't it?
Pretty sure it's Nico.
Well, we'll get that. We'll get that ready for next
when
year.
When he signs, he can tell us.
When he's most improved, best new signing next year, we'll say his name right.
If he doesn't sign for us, maybe the pod can pay for one of us to fly over to Bilbao and present it to him.
Yeah. Take it out, petty cash.
Take it out, petty cash.
We've done our budget on the champagne, Craig, so for tonight.
We've done our budget on the trophies, mate, the individualised trophies. Yeah, so we've done our budget on.
Blown our beans on the trophies.
Nightmare.
Yeah, it is a nightmare. Right. Fantastic. So some worthy winners, some difficult conversations, but ultimately I think we've come to a good consensus there across all the awards. We all happy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Lovely. Right, that concludes the Eskers.
Applause.
Insert clap or large crowd cheer.
Yep.
Right, well, that's all we've got time for today. So thanks very much, guys.
No worries.
It's off to the after party.
That's it. See you at the after party. I'll put you down for a half shandy.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. Got the non-alcoholics in. Thank you.
There you go. Right, well, we will be back for some transfer talk as we move into the, well, I guess the first transfer window has started with the summer, and we'll close.
This is where we can assure that Chelsea always wins.
Yeah, that's it. Well, they need to do something. We've got the Club World Cup coming up, so we'll be doing pods throughout the summer, keeping up to date on all the transfers, and obviously we'll be hopefully seeing Chelsea win another trophy.
And just a quick shout out, we've got our squad planner coming out this week as well, just giving the update on all the latest players, new signings, keeping the squad updated, just to keep you guys updated with the absolutely enormous amount of players that Chelsea have in their first team squad right now and everything that's going on with them. So that's always good to keep track of that.
Yeah, look forward to that. It's always handy. Cool. Right. Well, for more updates on all things ESCR, you can follow us on X at Eat Sleep Chelsea and Instagram at Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be, and thanks for listening.
I hope you're carefree wherever you may be. Thanks for listening.